Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank.
I'm trying to exude calmness upon you at this moment.
Well, we have a lot of moving parts today.
And we have a non-moving clock, apparently.
Yes, we do. But we're going to jump in because I have just way more information than I think we'll have time to go through today, which is wonderful. It's a wonderful problem to have. So I want to make sure that we get to it all. And the inspiration for the show today was a couple of things. One, I'm getting ready to finish up my school year, and I'll be taking the show on the road again this summer, like we did last summer, doing some traveling and sending back shows from different people that I meet along the way and different experiences that we had. And it was so fun and successful last year that I'm really excited to do it. It'll be a little later in the summer, but we're kind of gearing up for that summer mood, that travel mood, and kind of shaking things up. And the other thing that inspired the show was also this kind of heaviness that we've been feeling and talking about the last few weeks, and heaviness that I've described feeling off and on, that it's been a tough 6 months. It's been tough, probably longer than that, a tough 9 months. It's been a tough adjustment, and there's been so much going on and so difficult to kind of get our legs underneath us. I know that a lot of us are feeling sadness and hopelessness and overwhelm. And if you're like me, you feel a little bit like you're slogging through the days and not sure what to do next or how to keep going. Like this weight, this sadness, this depression can be crippling. And for many people, there's no apparent sign of relief, nothing in our sight that we feel like is going to change the course of our lives or what's happening culturally in our communities, politically, economically. I mean, it's a lot. And when we get to the place where we feel so bogged down, there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel, that you can start to lose your gusto for anything that you at one time found pleasure in. And so here we see this turning of the seasons, longer days, more sunshine, for many more free time, kind of changing it up. Kids are done with school. And then this opportunity to kind of lighten our loads, right? Shake off the bog, shake off the heaviness, and kind of embrace what the summer holds for us. And yet, when you've been sinking down or feeling overwhelmed or feeling like you're just slogging through for a long time, it's hard to get the energy to move towards that light and that pleasure and that goodness that exists out there. And so I thought today is important to talk about how to reignite that energy in all of us. And one of the main ways we do that is by getting out of our routine, out of our rut, out of our day-to-day, and getting together with others, seeking joy and pleasure and lightness and goodness and community. Because we are a communal people. We do better when we are out with those we love, or those we have common experiences with or common interests with, or just people that we feel in sync with. When we are together in that kind of place, we get better. We feel lighter. We feel more energized. And the challenge is, from a clinical point of view, is that when you feel really sluggish, it's hard to motivate yourself to go out the door to go do anything, to even get excited about doing something. And so part of the assignment for today is to help give us the energy to get out the door, to maybe ignite the curiosity or the love that lives inside of us, or the lightness that really is in there if we kind of flame it a little bit. We might have to stoke the fires a little bit. And so I thought today we could stoke those fires to help us get motivated. And what is one of the most motivating things for me is music and the soundtrack of our lives that carries us. A couple of weeks ago, remember I mentioned it was my anniversary. And so my husband and I, for our anniversary, went and saw the world premiere of a 4-hour Grateful Dead documentary, Long Strange Trip. And it was playing at a theater in Santa Cruz. And it was just the perfect anniversary because not that we, you know, got on the bus and toured endlessly with the Grateful Dead, but it's in many ways the soundtrack of our lives. It's been the backdrop for most of our really happy memories, our family memories, raising our children, going to shows, but just having that music on at the house and the weekends and, you know, just kind of the stories and the vibe and the atmosphere. And so it was a great way to spend our anniversary. 4 hours is a long sit, though. I will say 4 hours is a long sit, but it was fun to be with people who are like-minded and enjoyed the same memories. Even though I knew no one else in the theater, there was a certain sense of community that was really nice. And so it reminded me that, you know, this music that we've experienced, and not just with the Grateful Dead, but other shows that we've taken the kids to throughout our life, or music we've had on at the house, or, you know, traditions we have of going to festivals or going to concerts, has really been fundamental to adding color to the narrative that is our life. And so, as time would have it, next weekend is the KCBX Live Oak Music Festival. And last year, I had the opportunity to go to the festival and talk to a lot of the artists backstage and kind of get to know what brings music, brings them joy, or what music has brought to their life, and kind of get a sense of music and the world of traveling to support yourself and your family on the road. And it was really fun. And I gathered those clips together and been kind of wondering how I would use them in the show. And I thought today is the perfect day that we will celebrate music. We'll hear from artists who performed last year at Live Oak and get some of their words of wisdom and hear a little bit of their music. And hopefully inspire you and myself to get excited to get out into the world this year, this summer, in the next few months, and get together with communities to listen to music. So this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of the conversation by finding us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. If you like the page, you'll get updates on the show each week. You can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. Bree does a great job of keeping them updated. And you can podcast our shows through Apple Podcasts, I think they've renamed it to. Just look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist and you can subscribe and they'll be loaded to your device. And today we might open the phones later, but we have a lot of conversations to cover. But if you really have something you want to share, our number is 805-781-3875. So I want to kick off the show with a conversation I had with Joe Craven. And Joe has been master of ceremonies at Live Oak Music Festival going on. This is his 19th year coming up. And he actually performed at Live Oak the first time 28 years ago. And he will be performing again at the show this year. So he'll be doing double duties of MC and performing. And Bree, if you're ready to go with clip number three, I want to share a bit of my conversation with Joe Craven. So for people that aren't familiar with your work, can you talk a little bit about your background and your connection to music in general, or just what you do when you're not here emceeing Live Oak?
Sure. I have bachelor degrees in museology and aesthetics, undergraduate degrees, and I worked in art museums for a long time. And that has really informed my work as a musician. So that's what happened is I was in museological communities, and I did education work within those settings, you know, trained docents, ran museum schools, did all this kind of stuff. So my background is in education from that visual perspective. And then I quit my day job, chucked it all to make literally hundreds of dollars annually playing folk music. And that's pretty much what I've been doing since then. But as part of that, my portfolio of what I do as a performer, as a musician, embodies other things that I have had in my past. I'm an old theater man. I love storytelling. I love the spoken word. I love to creatively write. I love artful living in general. So I, as an MC, at a festival like Live Oak, I get to sort of cull all of those background interests of mine, you know, from formal education to informal education, into the process of making connection with people and becoming, I like to think of myself these days as a permission giver.
A permission for expression?
Yes. For this festival, for me, is about common ground.
Okay.
I gave an introduction to the closing act last night. Dear Live Oakies who I love, I would like to share a little story with you, bearing witness to the fact that I have sat amidst people at a festival where there is a God-fearing, politically conservative individual to the right of Attila the Hun, with jaw agape and eyes as big as supermoons, foot tapping and jaw a-flapping. And who is right next to a tie-dyed, half-fried, body-pierced, gyrating with arms all akimbo in a taffy-pulling competition with themselves individual, with more hair piled into a Rastafarian hairnet than the hairstylings of Kitty Wells, Dolly Parton, and Tammy Wynette circa 1973 combined. And who is the most environmentally conscious, tree-hugging, existential, politically-minded liberal flying their freak flag this side of the Hap-Happy River? And those two individuals, in that magical moment, could care less about the difference between them, because up there, on stage, making everyone feel more glad to be alive than they have already felt, are the California Honey Drops. And that, for me, is why I MC six festivals across the country every year, because there are three environments for a community: house concerts, music camps, and music festivals. Having an event like this creates a refreshing opportunity for people to really realize I really can get along with a guy or a gal who really does think differently from me about religion and politics and all of this. Where does all that go in the end? I don't know.
You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and that is the music of Joe Craven, who will be performing next weekend at the Live Oak Music Festival. And his words send me. What a great introduction. And we also will be hearing from Lash Rowinsky, who is the lead singer and writer of most of the songs for the California Honey Drops, who also performed last year at the Live Oak Music Festival. And, you know, the whole theme of the show today is kind of in lightening our load, a little bit, inspiring our summer mood, trying to ignite that flame of passion or lightness that lives inside all of us that's been a little tamped down for the last 6 to 9 months, and trying to bring some pleasure back into our lives. And music is a great avenue for that. And getting out and sharing music with others is a great avenue for that. And so, although this is a little more lighthearted than I generally would be, I think that that's what this time in our lives calls for. Because if we get too worn down, if we get too bogged down, if we just see things through dark lenses, we will stop being effective in any part of our lives. And so it's important to balance, right, the serious, the heavy, with the light and the pleasurable. And so I'm revisiting these interviews, these conversations I had last year at the Live Oak Music Festival with different bands, and kind of sharing what music brings to their lives and why they got involved in the music world. And so, Bree, if you're ready, we have clip number 6, I think. We'll talk with Lash Rowinsky from the California Honey Drops about why he got involved in music. Let's start off a little bit of your history of what drew you to music. Of all the things in the world to be interested in, how did music come into your life?
Music came into my life through my parents. They weren't musicians, but they loved music, and they encouraged me to play. My dad was a big fan of New Orleans music, especially. People like Sidney Bechet and Louis Armstrong and Jelly Roll Morton, those were, you know, his favorite artists. And I loved that joyful sound of the New Orleans music, the New Orleans brass band music and jazz. I just got hooked to it, and then over the years, you know, learned more and more about it and incorporated it with all the other stuff from my mom's tastes in music, which were more from the 60s because my mom's much younger than my dad. And, you know, I just kind of put it together. And over time, I just decided that I really wanted to be a musician. And I didn't care if I was good or bad yet. I was like, I'm going to work this out. And it was the one thing that always made me feel good. So I just went with that. You know, there was other things that I did as well. You know, my parents are writers. Both of them are writers by profession and journalists. And that just wasn't bringing me the kind of joy that I experienced through music. So, and other arts as well. So, you know, I just stuck with music because I loved it and it made me feel good. And that seemed like the path of greatest happiness, you know?
So what is it like, the life of a traveling musician? Because I would imagine as much joy as music brings to you, the road's got to be tough. I mean, the albums and songs have been written about the life on the road.
Yeah, you know, I think if you're touring and you're not enjoying the music and you're not enjoying touring, it's probably one of the worst jobs in the world. I can say that. I can say that without a doubt because I've had that experience and I thought about quitting. I was like, I'd rather have a day job. And that's why I started this band, was because I was like, hey, if I'm going to keep on doing music for a living, I got to really be enjoying it and really love it, because otherwise it's a terrible job. If you're not liking it, it's like worse than a day job, because it's the one thing that you really love, right? And if that gets taken away and it becomes a drag, you know, it's taken away a big part of your, you know, it's taking away something from you. So I was like, you know, I'm going to start something that I can really enjoy, that we can all enjoy. And my main goal is going to be to keep it as enjoyable as possible and still try to make a little, you know, try to make some kind of scrape out a living on it. And that's what we did.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and if you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and that was Lesh Rowinsky from California Honey Drops talking about his road into the musical world. And today we're talking about the need to sometimes pull ourselves up a little bit by the bootstraps, even if we're not feeling festive, even if we're not feeling motivated or excited about what's happening in our life, and kind of let ourselves go out and feel some pleasure and joy. You know, and maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe you're not feeling any conflict of kind of forcing yourself to feel the party of life, to really enjoy getting out into the world. And maybe you're not needing this inspiration, but I think for a lot of us, there's been so much heavy action that's been taken, boots on the ground marching and letters being written and concern about our future and what's happening in our country. But the concern is if we get too bogged down with that, then we become ineffectual in everything else. And we also want to make sure that we are, you know, joining together in community and building those relations so we don't start to become isolated and get into our own head. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, our number is 805-781-3875, how you're feeling about your summer and your joy and your festivals. We're going to continue our conversations. I also spent some time talking with Ulf Bjorlin from the Dust Bowl Revival, who was at Live Oak Music Festival last summer. And I couldn't cut down much of my conversation with Ulf just because he made me laugh so often throughout the conversation talking about how he got involved in music. And I really thought it'd be fun to share with you his kind of lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek, self-deprecating experience of himself. And you can see why Dust Bowl Revival is such a fun band to see in person. Because you can tell by the personalities of the members of the band that they all just love being up on stage and have the best time. And so I'm going to let Ulf Bjorlin explain to you in his own words what music means to him and his life. What drew you to music?
Why, thank you for having me. What drew me to music? Okay, well, I started singing when I was a kid. I should probably reference the fact that my father was a conductor, composer, arranger, and, you know, you can't help but to get sucked into the world. I would actually perform with my father and a couple of my siblings, since early on we would sing and we would dance, and I got a little older, and then it's like, you know, you join band in middle school, and I start playing a brass instrument. It's like, this is fun, and it's shiny. My first instrument was the euphonium, also known as the baritone horn, which is like a three-valve tenor tuba, also known as the girl tuba by a colleague of mine. And then I shifted over to the trombone because it's much more versatile, and you can play it in any genre of music, really. And, I've been playing for over, 22, 23 years. I've been playing a wind instrument.
So music was in your DNA. Your father passed that along to you. But did you always know you wanted to have music be your career, or how did you find yourself now touring with a band and being a musician for life?
That was kind of an accident. No, actually, I went to band camp 4 times.
Oh,
went to Interlochen 3 summers. I went to Tanglewood Music Institute. I ended up going to the Manhattan School of Music, pursuing a degree in trombone performance. And then I left Manhattan School of Music, and I was just like, I'm done. I'm done with music. I'm going to be an actor now because L.A. has awesome weather. And I pursued acting exclusively for a number of years, 7 to be exact. And then I kind of found music again. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, I remember this. This is a lot of fun. This is probably what I should be doing.
Did you have any luck with the acting gigs?
I did a few, a couple of things. One thing that comes to mind that is just kind of funny is that I was Aladdin on the electronic billboards for the Aladdin Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Actually, it's ridiculous. I never got to see it, but some friends were in Vegas were like, we see you on the billboards. You're Aladdin. I wish I had seen it, but I never,
So how did you find your way to your band, Dust Bowl Revival, considered what the best live band in L.A.?
I had started pursuing music again, and I got the music bug again, and I was having such a good time. I was with another organization at the time, and then I went on Craigslist, and I basically typed in, trombone and, under music gigs or something, and I found an ad posted by Zach Lupitan for this very band, and I was one of the original members of the Dust Bowl Revival because of an ad posted on Craigslist.
So is that how most people procure their musical jobs these days?
I have no idea. I really don't know. It's a wild kind of a chance thing because the people in the band are, fantastic, and some of us are original members. People have come and gone, and the current configuration is about 2-something years old. I really don't know. I don't know if this is a thing. I think it's just, that's kind of like a, it feels like it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a band that tours and has been around for going on 8 years now to have started on Craigslist.
So let's talk about the mental health piece in music. What has music brought to your life?
Well, joy. I joke that, at least for myself, I can't speak for anybody else, but there is certainly a level of narcissism. I mean, what kind of a person wants to do this for a living, for a career, where you're just you're on stage and you're doing this thing, and it's for me, it's the instant gratification of people cheering and applauding, and it's my head's just getting bigger and bigger. I'm probably some kind of certifiable maniac or narcissist. I don't know. I love it that we get paid to do this. We don't get paid, I should say we get paid for the schlepping and the sitting in a van and sitting in an airport and flying and, blah, 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 and the traveling and all the inconveniences and staying in crappy motels. We don't get paid for the performing. That's the part that's really awesome. And whenever you start feeling why am I doing this? It's when you get on stage, it's oh yeah, this is why. Every time you're kind of reaffirmed.
So without music, who is Ulf?
Oh boy, that is a good question. Isn't that the truth that we identify with what we do, and that's not who we are? Who am I? Well, I would like to say that at times I'm a troubled, dark individual. At times I'm a very happy-go-lucky, goofy, clownish individual. I would say I'm funny, friendly, charismatic. At times I love attention. At other times I hate attention. Maybe it's because I'm a Gemini. It's a little split personality. I would say, fundamentally at heart, I am a performer, whatever that means. And, yeah, I play the trombone, but there is a... I strive to put a performance aspect into every show.
So if you had been born like 150, 200 years ago, would you have been in a road... You know, I imagine you would have been on a road show in a horse-drawn carriage in some way going town to town?
That is probably pretty accurate. I would say if I was born 150 years ago, what is that? You're in 2000 and minus 150. I had a teacher in school say I was born in the wrong century because I love Baroque music, which is, 1600 through 1750, right? 1600 to 1750. So I would have probably worn a powdered wig and played some sort of prehistoric trombone and probably had some kind of traveling road show.
Yeah.
And probably died of leprosy or something. Had horrible teeth that all fell out.
So what would be something you would say to the next generation or a young man at, 20 years old who likes performing and plays an instrument well? Would you say, follow me on this path? Or what would be
your...
Don't
do it! Well, you really, really got to love it. And if it's a drag at any point, you should probably not do it. But at times, you just need to step back if it's a drag. And then if the bug catches you and draws you back in like it did for me, because it became a drag for a second, then do it. People that do my profession, for whatever reason, we're not looking to make a lot of money. And that's just how society is. Mm-hmm. If you want to make a lot of money, you're, I don't know, what are you? Kobe Bryant? Just be a famous basketball player. You'll be fine. Musicians are very sensitive and touchy and insecure and always trying to prove something. And oh, I'm sorry, I'm just describing myself. I can't speak for anybody else. You know, I wanted to be a classical musician. I wanted to sit in a symphony orchestra and play the trombone. And then it was just like, wait a minute, this isn't for me. I like being able to, shake my butt and dance around and jump up on a speaker and say, look at me. If you're in an orchestra, you're sitting in the back. It's a totally different mindset, but I don't know. I would say that artists in general are kind of on another level. It's a, I don't know, we're gluttons for punishment. I don't know. It's I don't know. I'm going to go think about that for a while.
Well, Ulf from Dust Bowl Revival, thank you for spending some time. You're listening to Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Today we are listening to conversations I had last year at the Live Oak Music Festival with different artists to get us excited and inspired to get ourselves out to hear some music again this summer. Thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX. We're going to take a little break, listen to some of the Dust Bowl Revival, and come back and take your calls. You're listening to the Dust Bowl Revival. We just heard from Ulf Bjorlund playing the trombone. And I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And you're welcome to be part of the conversation, 805-781-3875. You can also find me on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can leave me a message there or check in and see what shows are coming up. And you can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. And you can always podcast our shows by visiting Apple Podcasts or NPR One. Look for KCBX and you can download the shows and listen at your convenience. And today we're talking about how do we lift our spirits? How do we get energized? How do we use the summer, the longer days, the warmer weather to reinvigorate our passions and feel joy and feel pleasure? And in light of everything that's going on that wants to drag us down, it's so important that we still go out and come together in community and lighten our load a little bit and enlighten ourselves a little bit, and also to do things with our family that builds these memories. I talked about, you know, raising my children, going to shows, and the soundtrack of our family, The Grateful Dead, Dave Matthews, Fish, Bonnie Raitt, all those shows we took them to see, small festivals, large festivals, and how it has kind of given this beautiful color, this background to the narrative that's our story. So I'm wondering, if you're feeling it for the summer, if you're going to get out next weekend, the 16th, 17th, 18th, you can join us at Live Oak. It's a great all-family event and a place to reinvigorate your soul. Cynthia, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hey, yeah, thanks. This is a really great topic and obviously perfect timing.
Yes.
We're all feeling really stressed out with the last weeks of school, both for our kids and at Cal Poly. And ever since we've been in San Luis Obispo, the Live Oak Music Fest has been the way our family sort of exhales and kicks off our summer and really comes together and connects. My husband and I are both really musical, and I play the trumpet. My husband plays guitar. But Live Oak is just so much more about the community and reconnecting and sitting quietly and listening. So there's so many parts of the fabric that it brings, but I think there's something so special about being a musician and going to that festival, because everybody comes as a participant in some way. So, yeah, thanks for the topic. I think it's really important to get out there and connect with your community, especially at times like this.
I agree. And so you bring your whole family. What kind of things does everyone look forward to doing? Because you said you're a musician. Do you take part in the jams that go on between sets? And what do your children enjoy doing? What is it about the festival for everyone?
Well, my kids were, I think, 2 and 4 the first year we went. So they loved the music at that time in the children's area. And they've always wanted to do the talent show. My husband does the jams and stays up way too late at night and drinks a lot of coffee the next day to manage. But we also volunteer at the festival, and so we start, creating part of the festival before it even the people all arrive, and that's made us feel just more like we're part of it, and we create this beautiful art that everybody gets inspired by. So just really fun. I look forward to start to finish. I also just look forward to being out among the oak trees and seeing people push their boundaries a little by using porta potties and sleeping in a tent. So I love it all.
Well said, Cynthia. Thank you for taking the time to call, and I'll look forward to seeing you there next weekend.
Thank you.
And it's so important to think about all the aspects of how we lift our mental health, because if we're feeling down or feeling the drag of the end of the school year or just what's going on in the world, it's really not going to change with just a magical illumination, right? It's not going to just all of a sudden we wake up and we feel better. You don't just kind of get over it. That we actually have to take actions to help our mental health to improve, to help us kind of burst out of feeling bogged down or overwhelmed. And it can be really hard to gather the family together. I know how hard it is to pack up for any sort of trip or any sort of getaway. And when you're already feeling a little down, it's harder to get motivated. But isn't it interesting that once we get places, how we feel invigorated, right? It's once we get there and we get over the hassle of travel or we get over the hassle of, you know, organizing everyone. But being there and all of a sudden feeling a part of something bigger than ourselves and just watching kind of the magic unfold wherever it is on any sort of in any sort of experience, being part of that community. And as Cynthia said, there is kind of this sense of everyone has a piece of it. Everyone feels like they belong. And it lightens our load. I guess I keep going back to that statement. We feel lighter. We feel like that there is something to look forward to. This is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 781-3875. And I want to go back to conversations I had with Lesh Wierdenski from California Honey Drops. We had a long conversation. I had to break it up into different segments. And in this part, we were talking about the genesis of the band and how they got inspired or excited about taking their show on the road. They had started off playing in BART stations in Oakland, and now they find themselves just finishing a tour with Bonnie Raitt. So let's hear from Lesh. What's the genesis of the California Honey Drops? I mean, I mentioned briefly that you were playing in BART stations, but that, I'm sure it wasn't your intention to play out your career there. What was the genesis? What were you hoping would happen, and how did it come together?
Well, like I said, I went on a tour with some actually great musicians, but I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't enjoying the musical work itself, and I was kind of bummed on it. And I said, hey, you know what? I'll do this for a little while longer. I'll save up some money, and then I'll go back to doing some projects that I really like. So I'm not going to – back then, you know, it was Oakland in 2006, and I was paying $300 for rent. So I could save up a little bit on a tour and, you know, have some to last me a couple months and pay my rent and just do the things I wanted to do. So the Honey Drops were started because we had played on the street years before and really enjoyed it, and I'd gotten away from doing it. And I was just like, I just want to go back to that feeling. Going back to that feeling, and then, and that was really it. So we just played a lot with that band on the street, and then we hustled some dances, Zydeco dances, swing dances with another group to make a little money, and that was it. And then the Honey Drops thing in the BART station started really picking up, and we got a gig with that. And all of a sudden, I replaced one of my weekly gigs with a weekly gig with the Honey Drops at a pizza place. And then I was like, well, that was so I could quit that band now. You know what I'm saying? And I just kind of slowly phased it in, and we tried to keep it as fun as possible. There was a record deal offers early on that we turned down because we didn't want to lose control of it the way we saw it, and we weren't trying to go big right away. We were just trying to, hey, let's scrape out a living. We're still young. We can just scrape something out here. We can play some weddings with this band, and it'll be fun. We don't have to play YMCA and celebrate good times. You know what I mean? We can do it just the way we want to do it and just have a good time with it and, you know, feed our spirits and develop as musicians. You know, it gives you that opportunity to work on your craft as well. So that was solely the purpose at the beginning, was kind of get back to something we really loved and still just make enough money to pay the rent. And then it started, very slowly grew. We were almost going on the 9th or 10th year of the band. And we're just starting to really tour a lot and enjoy some success. So it's been a long road, and at times it can be discouraging because the music business can be discouraging. It's all about who you know and all that kind of stuff. But I can't complain, really, you know? Like, I feel like it's all happened at the right time and with the right purpose and most of all, with the right people surrounding us. Because we haven't bit on any bad offers trying to get famous or something. We've just kind of taken the slow road. And there have been moments where I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be too old to do this. And by the time I get my break, I'm just going to be old and no one's going to like me anymore. And I've had those thoughts, but I just kind of put them aside. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you love and let the love speak for itself and carry you through, you know.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you're listening to A Conversation with Lesh Rosinsky from the California Honey Drops. We talked last summer at the Live Oak Music Festival, kind of getting excited about next weekend's music festival. I'm looking forward to talking to the musicians that come to town, hearing their story, what they bring to the music scene and to the community. It's just a really special way to kick off the summer. And I felt like this was a good time to have this conversation because it's been, for me, a tough year. And it's funny because it came off of having such a fun summer on the road, sending my shows back, that I kind of felt that that trajectory would carry me that up feeling all throughout the year. But as life goes, we kind of live in these cycles, right, of ups and downs, of flowing with the river. And so the last 9 months were kind of a slog. A lot of things made it a challenge. There are a lot of disappointments, changes in our culture, changes in our community. And I found myself feeling pretty heavy coming into the summer season and wondering how I was going to feel motivated or excited to even want to go on the road again this summer or kind of move forward. It felt like, how can I feel joyous? How can I look forward to the long days or being out on the road when there's so much serious work that needs to happen? And yet I remembered that we have to bring the light in order to deal with the dark. We have to have the contrasts, right? The yin and yang of our life. And so I started listening back to these interviews and thought, oh no, there's so much to look forward to. And we have to model for the next generation that balance of joy and pleasure and fun and rhythm and music. And I just feel like nothing helps to bring us together more than music. Whether it's at a festival or whether it's music in the background at a barbecue at your house or, you know, music with your family when you're getting together, kind of having that soundtrack underneath. So I'm curious to know how you're feeling going into the summer. Are you feeling energized? Are you feeling like you're ready to enjoy life a bit and let off some steam and kind of let go of some of the seriousness of life? Or are you needing a little inspiration, just as I've been feeling I need a little inspiration? Our number is 805-781-3875. And I want to switch gears with our conversation. I had a great talk with Mike from the Mike and Ruthie Band. They're married. They travel with their kids on the road. It's a whole family adventure. And it was fun listening to his perspective of how he kind of grew up in music from the time he was young and now finds himself as a father on the road sharing his experience with his children. So let's hear from Mike from the Mike and Ruthie Band.
All right, so let's start off first with what drew you to music and what was the genesis of the Mike and Ruthie Band?
Well, I guess I started playing music when I was a teenager or even before that, and I loved the communal element of it. It was a place to forge really strong relationships with your friends, and to create something out of nothing, to become songwriters by trial and error. It was a very moving, bonding experience for a kid in a small town in New Hampshire, which is where I grew up. I was a drummer, actually. And so all the aspiring, you know, kids who wanted to be in bands came to me in my parents' basement, much to their chagrin. And I was just in a million bands all of a sudden. I had the drum set and you know, a vocal mic through an amp, and I feel like I'm just doing the same thing however many years later, 30 years later, than I was in the basement as a 10-year-old, you know.
So what inspired you to even pick up the drums or do music? Was it the environment in your house? Where
it was friends in my community. My uncle gave me a guitar and it just banged around the house for maybe a couple of years. And then a friend moved to our community, and Chris Wiseman, wonderful songwriter and guitarist, currently lives in Vermont, and he showed me 3 chords, and I was off to the races. I was writing songs that night, you know, silly little songs, but it didn't matter. I had the bug immediately, and it definitely brought me to a place that I haven't been able to access in other ways. The act of songwriting, and like I said before, just pulling stuff out of the ether. Completely not premeditated at all, just sitting down with my instrument and seeing this alchemy that can occur. It happened when I was a kid, and I've just been sort of chasing that feeling to this day.
So I would imagine because of the angsty teen years, maybe you didn't experience them, but it seems like there was this opportunity to put those feelings someplace. I mean, is that what the music was doing for you? Or really, you said, it was just a chance to be with my friends. I mean, was it really just that lighthearted, or was there really some sort of draw to being able to express yourself?
It is all of the above, for sure. One of my bigger bands as a kid was a ska band when ska had that sort of resurgence in the 90s. And one thing that was cool about that scene was the themes of unity that sort of were planted in England in that second wave ska scene. And, you know, it was sort of blacks and whites on stage together was a big deal when that was going on, and we were just kids from New Hampshire, but that meant something to us, and we felt like we were carrying the torch in this small way by expressing ideas that were important to the society on stage for our young friends, you know. And we were a little naive, but we went at it whole hog. And you know, the whole punk rock mentality of DIY, make up your own songs, use any equipment available, it's still sort of my philosophy on the whole thing. Even though we roll around in the folk scene, I still feel like my punk rock roots are what keep me going, and it's how I approach the whole game, you know.
So talk a little bit about the Mike and Ruthie band who you're touring with now. How did this come together? I know it's you and your wife, Mike and Ruthie, but talk a little bit about how you came together and how you formed the band, and what your life is like now on the road supporting yourself as a family band. Or
I love being on the road. This is a 5-week tour we're on right now. Some of you listeners may remember our last band, The Mammals. We played Live Oak maybe 10 years ago, 2005 or 2006. We just love it. Ruthie was brought up by folk musicians, Jay Unger, and her mom is Lynn Hardy. Jay eventually married Molly Mason, so Jay Unger and Molly Mason is a duo that's currently on the road. So Ruthie grew up in this scene at the Peace, Love, and Dirt, you know, folk festival. I didn't. I grew up, like I said, banging it out in the basement. But we met in New York City in 98, and she was, I guess, impressed by me being someone her age that played an acoustic guitar and made up songs, whereas the troubadour thing was always her parents' bag. And she's like, oh, this kid's, you know, up here. And I was drawn into the deep well of folk music that was in her, because as our kids are experiencing growing up on the road with us, that's all they really know. There's music in our life constantly, be it at performances of ours or others or festivals. And one thing we made a concerted effort to do this year was really get back on the festival circuit, because we love the community of bands, but also just the people in these communities where festivals take place. It's I love to see the energy between people, and I guess as a hired band, just sort of fan that flame a little bit and put our energy out into the space. And like they always said about music, it's an exchange of energy. It's very beautiful, whether there's words or not. Most of our songs have words, and we're trying to get across just our experience of being human beings, which is no small feat, you know. So just trying to keep it real and just tell our story and not make it too complicated. Just like Woody Guthrie, just look out the window and write down what you see. It's sort of what we try and do with our work.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and this is the Mike and Ruthie Band, Be As Bright As You Can. We're just listening to Mike talk about his experience on the road and playing as we kind of get inspired for the summer ahead. And I'm encouraging you to think about how are you going to get out there and lighten your load and lighten yourself and feel inspired again. Greg, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm a huge fan of Live Oak. I never miss one of these things. And the point of this thing is that it's It's all about love. There are 2,200 people there, and you cannot turn around without somebody smiling at you, without somebody saying, you want a beer, you want a half a sandwich. You know, you walk from your campground to, you know, 20 feet in any direction, and you're going to make a new friend. And the strange part about this thing to me is that I kind of forget, when I leave there Sunday morning, I kind of expect, I've gotten so used to the love over the last, you know, 48 hours, that all of a sudden I encounter somebody who's not quite as kind, and I go, oh my God, I forgot that the real world existed. The whole world isn't a Live Oak, unfortunately. But anyway, I think this is a huge, I mean, I know that you've gone through a tough time over the last couple of months, and I'm sorry to hear that, but there is nothing like being surrounded by 2,200 loving human beings to restore your faith in humankind and your kind of enjoyment of your own life.
Absolutely, Greg. Well said. And that's exactly why I wanted to do the show today, because I think we all have to be reminded that there is a lot of light and goodness and love and energy out there, but we have to take ourselves to that place. Right, we have to take ourselves out there into the world to find that place and those people, because otherwise we just spin in our own misery and we don't get anywhere.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much.
See you there. Thanks for calling, Greg. And this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I have one last clip to share with Lesh Rosinski from the California Honey Drops, talking about that energy and music and what's the point of getting out there and shaking your booty. What do you hope your music brings to other people, and what do you feel is the point of music?
Oh, the point of music. There are many purposes to music. You know, there's lots of different, and that's why there's so many different types of music. You know, so there's dance. There's strictly dance music. You know, just for people to dance to with no words, even. You know, just, you know, there's psychedelic music that takes you on crazy trips in your mind and kind of takes you through some spaces and places in the metaphysical realms or something like that. You know, there's ceremonial music that, you know, is maybe similar to that in a way. You know, it takes you to a state of trance. It's a lot like dance music. You know, there's classical music that's, you know, where you sit and you listen and you appreciate the, you know, the fine points. And you follow the composition, jazz, you know. So there's a lot of different types of music. So I don't think you can say there's a single purpose. Mm-hmm. The type of music that I love is mostly based around ceremony or dancing. You know, I love gospel music. And I love New Orleans street parade music. So these are musics that have like kind of a firm day-to-day kind of purpose, you know. They lift you up when you're down, or they, you know, or they provide a place for you to feel something that you need to feel and have a cathartic experience of some kind, and, you know, provide a place where people can meet and community. That's a big part of the blues and gospel tradition, is that you're performing a music that's easy to get the crowd involved with, a lot of call and response. So it creates a feeling, you know, of togetherness, and gives a way not only for the artist to perform, but also for the whole audience to perform and be a part of the music together. So that's a big part of, I think that's, you know, a big part of the music we play. And, you know, a big part, another thing that we take seriously in our band, is that we want to get people to dance. We want to get them to feel something. We want them to reflect sometimes as well, and we want them to, and we want to do it all without blowing them away. You know, we want to pull them in rather than just hammer away at them. And I think that's something that's very dear to me as a purpose as a musician, is that you can make people dance without hurting them. And I think as a society, we're like addicted to violence, really, in a lot of ways, and we need the music to be extremely loud and damaging to our ears, and we need to feel the bass like in our gut just to dance. And it's totally absurd, you know. So that's something that is very close to my heart, is making people feel something and making them dance their heads off like crazy and getting them to participate without just hammering them with unnecessary volume and just shred attacks of like, wow, he's an amazing musician, you know, actually get them in.
You've been listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, my interviews and conversations from Live Oak Music Festival last year, getting ready for next weekend. What are you doing next weekend? Are you going to join us out under the oaks? Peace, Love, and Dirt. Lots of great musicians coming to town. You can find information about the show at kcbx.org. But I'm excited to kind of put myself out there to start the summer, to start this show on the road, meeting new people. As Greg said, reminding myself that there's a lot of positive love and energy out there and a lot of people trying to do right and do well. But we have to get out and find each other. It's not just going to happen sitting at home. It's not going to happen commiserating on, you know, our computers, sending out emails and signing petitions and pledges, although those are really important. But we can't keep our mental health well if we are stewing in our own story. We have to get out and change the story. We have to have that soundtrack, that music underneath us. So as always, I thank you for being a part of the conversation. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or through our podcast. You can email me to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com or find me on my Facebook page. And I'm going to leave you today with finally some music from the California Honey Drops from their last CD. And I look forward to seeing you dancing somewhere on the Central Coast sometime this summer.
Sneaking out for